Blog Talk Radio. Social Geek Radio time, and this is Deb Evans coming to you live from Houston, Texas. My co-host needed a night off tonight, so she's off with some family, and I bet she's having a great time, and if she can, AK will join us later. But in the meantime, I'm really excited to have a guest that I met just last week online, and it is Nick Smoot. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm having a wonderful evening, and after we have this great talk with the crew, then I'm off to another geeky event.
Yeah, geeky event, yes. You get to go to a conference or an event with a bunch of tech people, so I'm glad that you carved out some time for us. So I'm trying to remember, I think a friend of mine online via Twitter or did some kind of mention of the app that we're going to talk about later, and I got a little brave and just popped off an email to, I don't even know who received it, and said, you know, I'd like to talk about this on Social Geek Radio because I downloaded the app and I was excited about it. And within, less than a week and a half, here you are. So I really do. I'm really glad that you could join us. Let's do something and have you tell the audience a little bit about yourself. I know you're out in California right now, so give us a little history about Nick himself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I guess my background, I apologize if everybody hears any background noise. I'm in as quiet a space as I can be. Like I was sharing with Deb earlier, so I'm on my way to another geeky hangout later, so I had to stop over for a quick moment. But I grew up in North Idaho, and funny enough, about 2 hours south of Canada and 4 hours in from Seattle. Not too geeky of a place, more outdoorsy, but after growing up there and spending my childhood and early adult life, I started helping with nonprofits and traveling the globe and doing different things, and that led me to living in LA eventually, and I'm down here with my wife and love spending time at the beach with our kids, and I love helping companies think smarter and utilize mobile technologies and tools. That passion specifically caused me to launch two of my own companies, and during my last buyout, I spent a ton of time working with franchises and organizations around mobile tech and strategy. I know a lot of people on this call are in that franchise space, so I thought I'd share that a little bit. And currently working on my newest company called Huron Biz. And, we're on our way to becoming the de facto instant business networking app is our goal.
Very good. Well, so while we're chatting, we'll go ahead and send our listeners and those in the chat to the App Store so that they can check it out. The website itself is it huronbiz.com?
We have both, but what we use on our cards is just huron.biz.
Huron.biz.
Yep, and if they want to just go straight to a URL instead of the App Store for iTunes, they can type in get.huron.biz, and that'll run them to the App Store as well. So either way.
Okay, good. So we'll get them looking at that so that if they've got some questions, they can throw them our way. So
absolutely.
One of the things that you and I had talked about last week, and you just mentioned it now, is mobile. And the mobile technology and strategy. So why, in your opinion, do businesses need to be thinking about mobile?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you've noticed and everybody else listening has noticed, but mobile has kind of sort of hit in a big way to where you look at the news and it's everything around tech and culture. Mobile phones are all over. You watch a social setting, everyone's staring down at their what I like to call the little computer that they keep in their purse or their pocket, and that little space of real estate is important for anyone who deals with humans, with customers, or their clients, however they look at it. And to help you understand the power of these devices that we now hold in our hands or in our pockets and purses. There's more computing power in our phones than there was in the Apollo lunar lander. And I share that a lot when I'm talking about the power of mobile, because we just don't grasp what these things can do. And websites are great, but from today forward, if anybody has not been thinking this, they should be thinking mobile first. And that should be a mantra in business.
And a lot of websites aren't really prepared for mobile viewing. I know how frustrated I get if I'm my head is buried into my mobile phone all the time, and I'm going to something and it'll say, this isn't ready. It doesn't have a mobile app. It's very, very frustrating.
Yeah, and that whole the websites being prepared or not, even some, they're coming with these canned mobile sites, and really it's just trying to cram their current site into a mobile interface. And there's so much to be done in mobile, and the strategy behind it as well. It's just it's amazing how a lot of people miss it.
So you say mobile first, and that means for someone who hasn't even begun to think mobile, what does that really mean? What should they be thinking about?
Yeah, I'd say step one is for anybody who's listening, mobile first means this. And for somebody who hasn't even started thinking about mobile, or even those who maybe have, step one is committing to figuring out a mobile strategy. This can be tricky, because just having a website and telling people to go to it on their phones isn't a mobile strategy. You were talking about a second ago sites that aren't really mobile friendly or mobile optimized, or even if they are, what's your still not a strategy. There's a strategy behind it. A mobile device has unique abilities that a desktop just doesn't. And take those into account when processing that word strategy. There's GPS, touch interface, there's an easy-to-use camera, there's voice, there's one-touch call, there's all these different social services that most people have on their phones, like Twitter and Facebook. And you should be leveraging not just your own platforms when it comes to mobile strategy, but what are the ones that are already on a phone, and how can your clients or customers be using that? Mobile strategy, plain and simple, is this. You believe that your customer or users have a very powerful device in their pocket, and how are you capitalizing on that to create loyalty, engagement, and at the end of the day, just more spend into your company? I recently saw a pizza company doing that really well, to be honest. I was just driving with my wife, and we pulled over to grab something real quick, and I walked past a pizza shop that encouraged people to do a few steps on their mobile device, and then if they walked in the store while they were doing that, then they were going to give them a free, I think it was a free medium pizza. And it's just one of those things that's part of that strategy jumping through. I don't need to see all the steps, but that's them realizing I can capture that real estate on the phone.
So that's their loyalty card could be their mobile phone.
In many ways, yeah. If you can get somebody to like your Facebook page, I know a lot of major companies that pay a decent amount for customer acquisition strategy around getting a Facebook like, because you now have another stream that they're on in their social world. It's in essence, the old idea of if people are sitting in a room listening to the radio or watching TV, on comes a commercial in the background, and you, even though people aren't focusing on it, yet they still hear it and see it, and you get a little bit of branding out of it. The same way even on Facebook, if they like your page, you're in the midst of their feed as they're scrolling through what happened in their day with their friends and the world around them, and then all of a sudden there's something about your business, and maybe they're going to like it if you actually know your strategy the right way. And people think, well, that's social media strategy. It is, but at the same time, it's mobile, because people are more and more on their mobile devices. They're out shipping laptops and desktops. You think about the world around us is, many countries have leapfrogged the whole desktop movement, have moved right to mobile. There's groups that, for fun, philanthropic groups, that are dropping cases of iPads out in the middle of Africa just to see what rural native groups will do with them. I mean, that's where the world has moved. Everything's so accessible, and the cost and barrier to entry has gone down that they're in almost everybody's pocket. So it doesn't matter if you're on the subway, you look around, everyone's got their smartphone out.
Yeah, that's true. I think what I tend to do now, if I'm on a train or the subway or just walking down the street, I love to look to see and count how many people are not buried in their phones, are not checking their phones and looking at it and doing something. So the mobile strategy obviously is to make sure that your website is capable of being viewed on the mobile. Does that necessarily mean part of that strategy is that you have to have an app?
You know, no, it doesn't. But you do need to be thinking about how your website looks on a mobile device and what social platforms or engagements you are driving people to, and are they mobile friendly? Are you encouraging on-site actions that can be performed through a mobile device? So sometimes your websites have call to actions that just can't be done. If you have Flash, to be quite honest, you're SOL when it comes to Apple and most of their mobile devices. And truth be told, a lot of websites or even some major companies and corporations are still Flash, which boggles my mind. But, the question you really got to ask, if it's app or mobile web, you don't just need to make an app to be with the cool group or the cool kids. You need to be understanding what's that strategy behind it, like the why in some ways. Apps for some companies and some business owners that might be listening, you may need to do an app, and it might be a very insightful thing that can drive a lot of business to you. But for others, an app would be the dumbest thing you could do and the biggest time suck and waste of money. And to do it just to be cool is the dumbest idea. So you better have a strategy behind it, why, the intent.
That's so funny because one of the things in my former life, just a few months ago when I was involved with a franchise, the one thing I really wanted, because it was a technology education franchise, is to have an app. And why did I want an app? Because it would be cool. I want to be part of the cool kids. Everybody has an app. Why didn't we have an app? And there were things that we could have done. But, and I know we're going to talk about, the expense of it, it's not easy to have an app. It's not inexpensive.
No.
So if I really wanted to follow that strategy and if I wanted to have an app, how would I do that?
Yeah, if you wanted an app and you felt like it was the right thing, for starters, here's what I would say. Bottom line is you need to answer the question why. And you bring it up a little bit. It's not just because. There better be a serious engagement, loyalty, new line of business, new customer acquisition strategy, something around an app that is unique to the unique things of an app. So I'd say answering that why. If you can't give an amazing reason for what your app will do that harnesses the power of a mobile device, don't do it. With that said, you need to decide native app or mobile web. So say you decide you do want an app. Is it a mobile web and a wrapper, or is it native app? I mean, and what that means is, I guess, you can have people who do mobile web, and that's a mobile interface people can engage with, and you can even create web clippings on a phone, or a native app for somebody who codes specifically for an iPhone or specifically for an Android device, and it works in a native way on that device and can harness certain things that a mobile web app can't. If native, then you got to ask the question, do you make it truly native? Just as I was talking about someone who does nothing but iOS apps, or do you use an SDK like Titanium or AppCelerator, or Titanium, which is an SDK on AppCelerator, and it's a great service, but native sometimes is the way to go if you want an app that's going to do really heavy lifting and really challenge the ability of the device. The upside to an SDK, though, is that you can often use the code across Android and iPhone and other devices as well. So where you can, Phone Gap's another one, to where you can kind of make one app and then tweak the language a little bit. It's kind of like Swahili, if you know anything about Swahili, to where there's all these different versions of it that you can kind of understand. Same thing with SDKs for mobile apps. You either need to have, to be honest, about $75,000 to invest in building a complementary service to your current site if you're really going to do a good app, or if you're launching a new company. You'd better be prepared to spend, because some people think, I want to do an app, and I get probably about 6 or 7 people per week that say, I've got a great idea for an app. Just today I had one, and someone sent me a message, said, look, I got this great idea, I really want to do this, and my de facto now, if it's not just a complementary thing to their website and they want to just create their own company, is do you have $200,000 for development? And usually the initial answer is no. Someone who's had a great idea sitting there at a stoplight. But again, though, don't start making an app until you know the direction. You'll often pay through the nose just to engage with a development shop who's going to walk you through the creative steps. So if you're doing an app, know the ins and outs of how you want it to work before you engage the app development group, unless they're going to do this pro bono. Because a lot of groups will make you pay for the creative process, which, to be honest, they should, because why should they be walking you through all the comps in your house, you know, if you're not going to have them build the house, kind of a thing, for free. So it's I know of a firm personally that they won't even talk to you unless there's $200,000 on the table in retainer to start the development of your app. And yes, are there these app-making kits where you can build an app for $500? Absolutely, but again, back to the house-building scenarios, have you ever built your own house without knowing what you were doing? You end up with, you know, a house that may or may not stand, in the same way with an app using these out-of-the-box things you can make on your own. If you've ever done mobile development,
wow.
You probably should look another direction first.
And it's not easy to be accepted as part of the iTunes Store. I'm assuming. It's just not like, you know, you just don't throw your application that way and say, look, I built this app, I spent all this money, and here you go. And just pop
it. There's this idea that, like, you know, an app is so easy. I mean, it's such a small icon, right? I mean, it's like the size of a quarter. That can't be hard to build. But people just don't understand the conceptual idea that you're basically building a whole software platform, and the whole process. You're going into iTunes. The Apple side is much more difficult than Android. Android, you build an app, it's still difficult to build. And it's even much more difficult to build Android, to be honest, because of the whole issue that's going on with all the devices having different versions of Android. But if you build for iTunes, there's supposedly the review process is supposed to take 7 to 8 days. We were in a month and a half review just with them looking at our app to approve it or not for the store. And that's one of the experiences we've had. So, I mean, they'll threaten to pull an app. They threaten to pull Dropbox's app, LinkedIn's app. You know, you do one thing wrong, you're out of their store.
Wow. So easy. Easy's not it. And that's why I don't have an app. And one, we didn't have the money. Two, I didn't really have the strategy behind it. So
yeah, exactly.
Now what attracted me, as I had mentioned earlier, is your current mobile company, which is Here on Biz. From what I've noticed, the focus is LinkedIn, which I strongly believe LinkedIn has been missing something as far as mobile. But why did you focus on LinkedIn versus the other platforms?
Yeah, that was a very distinct decision on our part, and it's because I believe, and my business partner, Alan Hart, we believe that business professionals as a community were being left out.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is you got Facebook and Twitter that are focused. Yes, business professionals can use it, but it's not a pure ecosystem. LinkedIn is hands down the most useful network for a business professional, but it lacks some utility. They're working on that. They're doing some great things. But right now, the main uses for LinkedIn, a lot of people use it for, it's great to showcase your resume. You can hire someone from it, from the community you know or others around it. But for real-time interactions, LinkedIn's a bit lacking in that area. So when we started building out the concept of Here on Biz, we started to see the pre-buzz around some other ambient apps out there. Like there's dating apps that let you see who's around you that you may want to meet. There's other apps to meet friends kind of for social settings. Facebook bought a company recently that does that. And, you know, there's all of these are great, but I used one of the ones to meet friends, trying to use it for business purposes, and to suggest that I met a 13-year-old because we both liked the same TV show that we both liked on Facebook. And the reality of it is my lawyer nor my wife would think that's a great idea for me
Not a good connection.
So we really saw a major need for business professionals to have the ability to do this real-time, you know, ambient business networking. And to be honest, if anybody had the most to gain, it was a business professional, not just somebody making a new friend to watch a TV show with. We're talking about people to start new companies together or close potentially multi-million dollar deals, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollar deals, big things that matter.
Right. Well, and LinkedIn is the first social platform that I use, and I got started on many years ago. And of course, then, you know, it's as you said, Twitter and Facebook and all the other ones. And then LinkedIn kind of got pushed aside because everybody else had something else going for it other than, okay, I'm on LinkedIn and I have to do it from my desktop. For our listeners, and I think most of them are business professionals and they probably have a LinkedIn account, but why don't you go ahead and explain to us how they should be using LinkedIn, and then we'll move into the Here on Biz.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I hope most do have one, and if not, I would say first off, get an account if you don't. It's free, and it allows you great exposure in the business community. LinkedIn is made up of a group of people. I've seen different numbers around how much on average people are making on LinkedIn, but they say just across the board for household, the average income is about $91,000 a year, and the heavy users for individuals make about $130,000, I believe. And so it's a community of people that they're making money, they have jobs, they're connecting and sharing pertinent business information, and you can really heavily network. So I guess after you open an account, if you don't have one, you should update your profile as fully as possible. You can you should seek out past connections and add them to your network. When I say update your profile, you can add your college, you can add your past jobs that you've had, milestones, inside of those jobs, you can add publications you've been in, you can add skill sets and talents. And every time you add something like that, it opens up a new circle of people. So let's say you're out of college, that circle of people now, you're someone, they may make some suggestions saying, wow, you went to this college and you also worked at this place, so did this person. Maybe you guys should know each other, or did you know that you're both on here? So it's useful for those things. So definitely update your profile all the way through. The other thing, you know, is after a productive meeting, you should add that contact to your network. Most business professionals are on there. And you can search out, let's say you have a great meeting, you can search that person's name, and then just one click of a button, you send an invite to them to stay connected for the long haul with them. It's difficult because you have business cards piling up on your desk, and this is a way that you can just keep them kind of in a digital way connected to you. And be sure to keep your work info up to date, like I said. And if there are notable things going on in your work world, share it on there through an update. There's a little bar at the top that you can put, you know, if you got a promotion or if something great's happening in your business or there's a new report that's interesting that's impacting your industry, share it because you then are starting a position inside that community as an authority. And when people are looking to potentially hire or recruit or want to go work for someone, you are seen as a figurehead inside of that community. I've had job offers through there just because people see the information I share in my past work history. You know, not that everyone's looking for a job on this call or on this show, but some people may be, or others might be looking to hire, and you can use this as a great way to find people.
Yeah, there's really good search capabilities, I think, within LinkedIn when you're, at least when you go in there and you search for people within the industry that you're in so that you can find out who those thought leaders are. And
yeah.
I too believe it's LinkedIn makes it so easy now for you to get that profile at 100%. You just follow the steps. And my profile is at 100%, but I'll still go over there and say, let me see what the tips are they're asking for today, because it seems to change.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I really could do that. I can improve that area. In your opinion, and since we're on the LinkedIn whole discussion, how often should you update your status? You know, you've got Facebook and you've got Twitter. People can tweet, you know, 100 tweets in an hour, and Facebook, people are on there a couple times a day. But I don't think I've seen anything as far as LinkedIn is how often should you change that status update? And you should have that status update on your LinkedIn profile.
Definitely, definitely. You know, I would say with LinkedIn, probably once or twice per week. And it shouldn't be status updates like, you know, heading to the beach with a family, what a great day.
Right.
I mean, that's more Facebook or Twitter worthy. When you make an update on Facebook, it should be something that, you know, you would share in a meeting with your other coworkers where someone says, hey, give me an update for the week of what's been going on in your business, or what's new, or have you seen any interesting reports? But I would say about once or twice a week would be sufficient for LinkedIn.
Yeah, and that's about, I'm glad you said that, because mine is probably about twice a week that I'll find a good article or something. Now, I'm not of the belief, and I know a lot of people do this, and that's fine, but I don't update my status and hit Twitter and automatically send it to Twitter. I seem to have different personalities. I got my Facebook personality, I have my Twitter personality, and then I have my LinkedIn personality, and I do believe that those are different platforms.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, good.
No, I 100% agree with you around that. I think professionals, and that's why kind of coming back to why do we pick LinkedIn instead of the other platforms to work with for professionals, is that I believe that business professionals are truly being left out of this real-time kind of ambient social space. I think that's wrong. We found professionals having to manipulate other platforms to try and make them work for them, and next thing you know, it's asking you to connect with somebody based around a television show that's 13 years old. It's just, it's missing the point. You're right. People have different profiles for a reason.
Right, right. And their personality is the same. I mean, I am who I am, and sometimes I'll throw something a little silly on LinkedIn, but I am the more professional on LinkedIn than I am certainly on Twitter or on my Facebook page. So
absolutely.
Let's get into the real exciting part that I need to learn a little bit more about is this app. So what does your app Here on Biz do that LinkedIn does not do, and that would be helpful for me since I have this app and for our listeners?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, a few things. First off, it allows for you to see other users of LinkedIn who use our app around you. So I guess to expand on that a little bit, there's that age-old question of who's around me that's an influencer, and to kind of describe that pain point, imagine you're stuck at the airport and you got a layover. You could open up our app and see other LinkedIn users in that same airport with you. They're not going to show their exact location, but it shows you who's closest to you by general neighborhoods, and you can start chatting with them. And how great is it that instead of talking to the person next to you that really maybe they'll be useful or not, but maybe there's the executive of one of the big companies you've been trying to work with for a long time that you didn't even know was in the airport too at that same time. There's a way you can chat with them. So you can see LinkedIn users around you. You cannot do that on LinkedIn right now. Then for those you are connected to, it allows you to chat with them in real time. So if you aren't connected to one of them, you can request a connection, or if you're previously connected on LinkedIn and they're using the app, then you're connected on our app immediately. So you can send SMS-based conversations, kind of like text. And then lastly, it provides you with a geo-aware Rolodex. And this is an interesting piece for business professionals. So anyone who you are connected to on LinkedIn who use our app or who you connected with in the app, it moves them into the network tab for you. And now you can keep tabs on their business travels, the kind of their geo-aware location, not in a creepy way, like I said. It's not like their exact pinpoint, but it lets you know a general area. So let's say if they're in Seattle, you will see that and know what general area they're in of Seattle. Like, let's say they're in Green Lake. And this is huge for business development roles, BD people and companies, because imagine being able to keep a geo-aware information on key accounts and possible clients, the whole new kind of interesting concept of the CRM. And, you know, I know some big consulting firms that discovered that we have this ability, and they're very interested in it because, you know, if you've been trying to close a deal for months, it may be worth taking that flight to where you know that person is, and you may be able to start the conversation by saying, hey, notice you're in Miami. Don't forget to hit this great restaurant. Would love to see you. I'm planning on coming out in a day or two. Would you be open to meeting? So it's interesting. Those are the three things I'd say that we do that LinkedIn doesn't. It's the see who's around you, chat with them, and then keep a geo-aware Rolodex.
Cool. Now, since this app is so new, I think it's only about 7 weeks old. Mm-hmm. I guess what my role, you know, how can I help you? Should I start, you know, I've got over 500 connections on LinkedIn. I'm close to 1,000 connections.
Right.
So I guess what I should be doing is I want to know where they are, but I want them to use the app. So I should start sharing that information about the app so that I can get more folks downloading that so that we can make those connections when we're
traveling.
Absolutely.
And there's two things that will help us out. One, by the way, as things grow, in middle of July, we're kicking on an algorithm that does kind of helps you become automatically aware of certain important moments. And we've got the algorithm that's unique. But let's say you flew into Seattle at mm-hmm. the same time. Someone who went to the same college as you, who's also does radio, and you guys have a few connections in common. Our app would say, by the way, you're both in Seattle. You guys have way too many things in common. You guys probably should just maybe connect. You don't have to, but we send a notification to both of you saying, here's some reasons why you guys might want to know each other. So that's one thing. But to get people to use it, under the network tab, there's an invite button in the upper right-hand corner, and it pulls in all of your LinkedIn contacts right into there, and then you can select those that you want to invite in, and it'll send them an invite right to their phone or to their email for LinkedIn, and just go straight from there, and they can download the app right from there.
Okay.
And once they join, by the way, it sends you a push notification.
All right. So, okay. I'm on the app now, just so that I'm clear. And I see my network, and I do see a few folks here on my network have it. Oh, that's pretty cool. Now, where was it that I could invite my network to join this?
The upper right hand. Yeah, the upper right hand corner where there's a little arrow.
Yeah, invite via email.
Yeah. Or you can also from LinkedIn, and what that'll do is it'll pull in all of your LinkedIn contacts.
I'm inviting everybody. Okay.
Perfect.
Hope whoever's listening is like, they're going to say, what is Deb sending to me now? It's like, no, you want this app. No. This is really cool.
Yeah, it is. It's great. It's one of those things that, just the SMS-based thing. We have some companies who have actually opted to exclusively use this for their company for communication, so it's no longer text. But you can see where other guys are at around you in the city and chat with them. So there's some workforces that it's been helpful. And they don't use text anymore or GChat or anything like that. They're using our app for communication back and forth.
Right. Well, and I'm getting ready to travel next week, and it gets tiresome. It's like, okay, I have to remember, okay, who's in this area? I'm going to be in New Orleans. All right, who's in that area? Who should I be connecting to? And what always happens is I'll travel, and I'll come back, and then it'll hit me. Oh, Lord, I forgot to contact so-and-so while I was traveling, and they didn't see my tweets or my updates.
Yep.
And it's like, oh. We have a question here in the chat. I don't know if you know who Dustin Moses is, but Dustin, hello. Thank you for the question. It says, will Here on Biz add a geolocation functionality similar to Foursquare? As in, if I see a connection and I want to meet them at a specific coffee shop, can I send a geo-linked invite to them? I think you were just talking
yeah,
about
like
that.
Yeah, like the idea of sending a specific, let's meet at this cafe or restaurant.
Right.
You know, that's something we're exploring a lot of things for our version 2 coming up in July. We're going to be doing some sort of a wall, like a feed where there'll be a wall you can see certain activity. And the closest thing we have to that right now is something called Indulge. And, we're a two-man show. We've recently gained some funding, and we'll be hiring more people. But Indulge is to flight restaurants, bars, hotels, and travel options that give some sort of a VIP treatment to the business professionals. And I don't foresee us doing something with like Yelp or Google Maps or Google Places for that yet. We have had some conversations with Yelp and American Express and different groups around ideas. But, to be honest, to answer that question, not yet, but it's something we've discussed.
Sure. And now here's a notification. I didn't know that was part of Here on Biz, but I'm sitting here looking at my smartphone, and our listener, Lori Windham, has joined Here on Biz, and I just got a notification.
Yep.
She and I are connected.
Yeah.
So it has now dinged me to let me know that she's joined. I'll have to check that setting because I don't know that I'm going to, if all my connections joined, like, am I going to want my smartphone going off like crazy? But that's okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
There was another question here in the chat, and it goes back to a conversation we were having a little bit earlier about apps. Let me see if I can find it. You might be able to help us out here. It says, are there app developers who will partner with you on a contingency basis if your proposed app is attractive to them? Would you know?
Yes. Yes, there are. And I would say be prepared to give up a lot of equity, though, because, the thing I know is that ideas are kind of a dime a dozen, and execution is key. And so the difference is are you truly an entrepreneur and a business person who has an idea for an app that you want to – you know you can execute it, but you just don't have the engineer side? Or is it just, hey, I have a great idea? Because the hey, I have a great idea stuff, to be honest, I would say give it to an entrepreneur and let them build it, and maybe they'll be nice and give you some sort of a spiff if they sold for millions. Because I hear a lot of great ideas, but the understanding of the sweat equity time, the sleepless nights, everything that's going to go into it on the backside is something people don't understand. Right. And yes, occasionally you can find some developers who will, you know, they'll do an equity share, or sometimes you can even find the right business partner that wants to take it on as a venture together. And that answer, that begs a bigger question before you really start developing, is I would ask you is, who is your team? Because when you start a company, you need a team. You need multiple co-founders. And if you're going to do a technical company, you need a technical co-founder. That would be like saying, I want to open a dairy, but you don't have any idea about a farm or about anybody that has ever dealt with cows. You're like, I just want to do a dairy. You need the right team around you. So, yes, you can find the right person, but I would say start asking questions, going to meetups, finding people who are developers, go to developer meetups, start shaking hands, kissing babies, building friendships. And when you find that right person that you feel like is somebody you click with, go out to dinner and say, look, I got an idea. What do you think about maybe doing a venture together?
Good answer, and I think, yep, that helped them out. Now, I have a silly question, and so you develop Huron Biz, and it's connected to LinkedIn. How much time did you have to spend, or did you spend any time, with LinkedIn? Mm-hmm. Is LinkedIn in California? Their corporate office?
They are. Yeah, LinkedIn. Well, LinkedIn's all over the world. Interestingly enough, they've got offices everywhere, from I think Australia and all over Europe and the United States. There's employees down here in LA, but their headquarters are up right by Google in Mountain View. They're actually just down the street from them. Yes, we've connected with them, and yes, it's fairly unusual to answer that question. You don't have to interface with them to use their API or to develop anything like that. Their API is a public API, much like Facebook has one.
Mm-hmm.
And you're allowed to build things around it. The APIs have certain rules of how you can use them. We do not need to interface with them beyond understanding their developer community and create any application you want. And make sure you follow the rules, though, because if you don't follow the rules, that's how you get cut off of an API and blackballed very quickly.
Right. Yeah, you know what? And that really does surprise me. I had assumed, because it's like a LinkedIn app, unofficially, that you would have been working closely with their IT or somebody in their tech, not knowing that you could actually go off and venture and do this. That was acceptable. I did not know that.
Yeah, companies with their APIs, what they do is a lot of times they'll release certain amounts of data because they know it'll stimulate innovation around their platform. So people will be creating great things. And a lot of times for these big companies, it's easier to acquire a great idea that a small team creates and can move quickly versus trying to steer the Titanic. And, for a lot of these big companies, they're already planned out. 2 years down the road, they know exactly what they'll be doing, what they'll be creating, and there'll be new innovation that they do. But a lot of those will come from acquisitions or mandated changes to the industry that they can't avoid.
Very smart thinking. Cool. Well, I know you have some folks waiting for you, and I don't see. I'm weeding through. I don't see any other questions here. Before I release you, let's go ahead and give everybody your various platform profiles so that they can follow and connect. So how about following you on Twitter?
Yep, it's Smooter is my personal one, Smooter. And the other one would be for my company is Huron Biz, just HERONBIZ. Funny enough, if you want to listen to my wife who rants about myself and my startup life, she actually has a handle that's Startup Widow. It's Startup _ Widow, which is just hilarious. And here's a caveat as well. She's very crass time and just says it how it is. So she's a kick. But.
Funny. That's okay. Well, I'll have to add her to my list. And then you have a blog, which I stumbled upon.
I do. For Huron Biz or
Well, give us both of them.
Yeah, you know, our website here on Biz, we don't currently have the blog up there because, you know, we're only 7 weeks old and a two-man show, but we will be blogging at HEREON.biz. Mm-hmm. Currently, Facebook is the place to go if you want to kind of get things done there. Facebook.com/HEREONBiz. And
very good. And then
I have a very, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you're on LinkedIn, so it'd be linkedin.com/n, and it's Nick Smoot, right? S-M-O-O-T?
Yep, that's okay. Correct.
And then the iTunes store, it is get.hereon.biz, correct?
Yep, that is correct. Or they can just type in HEREONBiz in the search in iTunes, and it'll go right there as well.
Very good. And now, your wife has a Twitter handle. I was thinking that I saw she had a blog or something else, so maybe I'm confusing her with somebody else. I'll just
No blog yet. I think it's
that
startup.
That you know of.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? There may be all sorts of stuff on there, but startup_widow.
Yeah.
She's a kick.
She's going to find out. It's like, why are all these new people following me? It's like, yeah. Well,
absolutely.
Very good. I really appreciate you being on with us tonight. This is cool. And keep us posted, and I'll watch for the other new things coming on, and I'll let you know how I'm making out with the app. If I have any questions, I know how to find you.
Absolutely. The cool thing is anybody who downloads the app, we're automatically connected, so we can chat on there too.
That's right. I think that's how it got started. I think I was talking to your partner.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and now that I know about the notifications, because I was wondering one night when somebody that I'm connected to said, oh, fancy meeting you here. It's like, how'd you know I have this? Well, now I know.
Yep, look under that network tab.
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you, Nick. Have a good night. And,
thank you.
And when you meet some of those cool, geeky IT guys, send them off to Social Geek Radio, and they can share some of their fun stuff with us.
I will. Absolutely, I will. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night.
So we're going to move into the Geek It Out part of the show.
It's a very geeky show. The kind you listen to with mother. So show me.
Okay, since we're talking, and I'm going to try to do my very best to geek it out with you guys. I'm certainly not an AK fill-in, but I'll do my best. And I see in the chat, is there a geek dance to go along with this tune? I'm sure there is. And we will all be able to demonstrate the geek dance when, in a couple of weeks, that we have Google on as our guest, and we'll be doing a Google Hangout along with them. So we will get our Google friends and our listeners, and Laurie, since you're the one who talked about doing the geeky dance, you can help put the dance together. So for the first Geek It Out, it's an app, and you're going to go to www.drivesafe.ly, and let me put this in the chat. Now, see, this is when you're a one-woman show here. Trying to do it all at the same time. What this is, and I saw this on the Data Doctors radio show, or listened to them, and it's on their blog and their newsletter. But what it looks like is that it is an app, and I'll have to download this later, but it's an app to stop distracting drivers. So what it appears to do is that it will read the text messages to you so that you can do hands-free and not be texting, and God knows none of us should be texting while we're driving. But I think you should check that out. It looks like it's fun, and it has a huge number of people that are using it, and it looks like it's good for all devices. So it is a free app. We'll have to try this. Okay, let's see. Another... and geek it out. Let's see if I can get it up. It is, I was playing around with it today, and AK has shared it with us before, but I was just having way too much fun with it today. It's Comic, it's comicomatic.com, and I will put it into the chat. And what this does, and I think AK did this pretty recently, but I have a workshop I'm going to do next week, which is a little bit of a presentation, but mostly hands-on workshop. And I had to have a presentation, a PowerPoint made, and I decided to put together this comic strip, which it's just a lot of fun. You put in the characters that you want. You put in your text. It can be a talk, or it can be your characters could be thinking. And it's about three screens, so you can do morning, afternoon, evening, and throw together some text. And then the website is still in beta, so it's not letting you upload it and have a URL. But what you can do once you do the comic strip is you can download it and save it and then embed it into your presentation. So you can get a little... It's fun. It's a little, you can get a little geeky and make up your own comic strip. So comicmatic.com. All right, let's see. Another Geek It Out site is go to www.glos.com. SI, and while everybody's going there, I'm going to pop it into the chat. AK, I do miss you. And Dana, trying to help me put these into the chat. But this is your online newsletter. So what you can do is you can connect your social platforms to this Glossy. It's in beta. And you can do a newsletter. Now, Laurie, I know you're listening, and maybe you can put in the chat. I'm trying to remember the name of the newsletter that you always use that takes your Twitter feeds and your Facebook feeds and it makes it into a newsletter. So I've went ahead and I connected my Twitter account. So if you go to glossy, glos.si/DebCE, you can see how I connected my Twitter account, and it's got my feeds from the last couple of days on there, and it looks like a newsletter. And then you can share that. Okay, let's see. I think I have time. We still have some minutes. One other... AK had sent this one to me, a Fully Follow Me. It's F U-L-L-Y F-O-L-L-O-W .M-E. Let me put it into the chat. And let's see if we can go to it. What this does is, once again, I sign up. It's a free account. And it lets you connect your social profiles into one. So you can connect all your profiles, and you can have one page that you have all your connections. Another site very similar to that, and again, AK shared this one several weeks ago, and the founder is going to be on our show here in about 2 weeks. Check out Follr. Me. So it's follr.me. And actually, you can look at my account, which is follr.me/Deb Evans, to get an idea of what you can do by putting all of your accounts, your social platforms accounts together, and have it on a slick page. So on the Follr Me/Deb Evans, I've got my all of my LinkedIn, my Twitter, my Pinterest, Clout, Google Plus, Flickr, and website. What I like about this, and I don't want to give too much of it away before Stephen Falls is on our show in a couple of weeks, but if you look at the tabs at the top, you've got a home tab, a content stream, about, influence, skills, work. What I really like is the documents tab. So if you've got a document that you'd like to share with folks and you use Dropbox or whatever, but you want this public, you can actually post it on this Follow Me account and they can download it for free. So it's pretty cool. Actually, we have somebody here in the Dustin again. He says the similar news feed as well as your drag and drop functionality. He saw it on, this is a long URL, but it looks like favemaster.com. We'll have to check that out, Dustin, and share it on another Geek It Out show. So does anyone else have a Geek It Out for us to share in the chat? Pretty cool that you guys are there sharing. I have, see if we can try one more. I'll put it in the chat, and then I'll read it out to everybody. AK shared this one with me tonight. It is TWITSPROUT.com. So let's see if that works. TwitSprout. So once again, it looks like you connect your social platforms and you can measure your social media accounts and your competitors. So you can add your Twitter accounts and your Facebook accounts and check out your ratings on those. So that's pretty cool too. So I don't know how many. I've shared lots and lots of LinkedIn or lots of Geek It Out accounts. Thank you, AK, for sharing them in advance with me. And thank you to everybody who was in the chat tonight. It was great to have you and the questions. And don't forget to go back and connect with Nick. And once you download the Here on Biz, connect with me, because if I'm traveling, I certainly don't want to miss finding all of you. And we're going to go ahead and call it a night tonight. So thanks so much, everyone, and have a great geeky evening.
Don't show me.